Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Anne Baroque as my special expert guest. Anne Baroque has been in private practice for 14 years. She is a certified nutritional consultant, naturopath, certified clinical hypnotherapist, certified iridologist, educator, author, and inspirational speaker. Anne specializes in allergies, autoimmune diseases, digestive disorders, hormonal imbalances, hypoglycemia, weight loss, depression, anxiety, and candida infection. As a hypnotherapist, she helps her clients identify and release negative mental, emotional thought patterns and overcome fears, phobias, self-confidence issues, low self-esteem, and tobacco use. Anne was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at age 24 and has been symptom-free for 17 years. She is the author of Healing Multiple Sclerosis, Diet Detox, and Nutritional Makeover for Total Recovery, and the Candida Cure. Good morning, Anne, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure indeed. We always like to know a little bit about our guests and their background. So you're a naturopath, a wellness consultant, you're very well known and an author, but can you tell us how you got involved in this field and why you do what you do?
Sure. Well, I'd love to say I woke up one day when I was a kid and said, this is what I want to be. But unfortunately, it came through my own personal health crisis of being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis at the age of 24. And really going through that four-year tumultuous journey when I came out the other side and put that to bed, it was obvious what I was to do in life. And it was taking all that experience and then my education and realizing that there's so much potential for the body to be well and how we move through some of these challenging conditions. And that was my motivation to do the work that I do.
Prior to being in the field, did you have an affinity for some of the tenets or principles of natural medicine? Like, were you interested in whole food, or is this a total change for you?
Well, no, going back to my childhood, it was rough. I was a sugar addict, so I was the poster child for disease to be set up. I was a sugar addict. I had 12 silver fillings or 15, 16 fillings of amalgam by the time I was 12, and I'd had almost probably 50 antibiotics by the time I was a teenager. So I was eating processed food and junk food. My mom was working hard to put food on the table. We didn't have a clue. And I got a little brief touch of eating better at 18 because that's when I hit my first minor crisis of mononucleosis, the Epstein-Barr virus. And so that's really when I found out candida, a yeast infection, was the root of that. So I had to clean up my diet for a year and take some antifungals. So that was my first glimpse. But then I went back to my crazy ways, and at 24, it knocked me flat in my tracks. So I can't say my full history was from a clean perspective. It was really through hitting so many walls that I realized, wait, I got to pay attention here.
You know, I find when I propose certain changes to people, they're initially kind of taken back by the depth of change or the degree of change. Did you also experience that yourself?
Oh, very much so. I mean, you know, conquering multiple sclerosis was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through. It was not an easy ride. You know, I was very debilitated at the beginning, and at that time, all they had was chemotherapy. And I looked at my mother and I said, if I take this, I'm going to die. I knew I was too fragile to be able to handle that chemical, but I had no clue how I was going to go through it except for some of my candida history background. So it was really some minor connection of what little information was out there and my belief in knowing that I could put this thing to bed. So there were so many walls that I hit. There were so many highs and lows. I mean, I survived a near-death experience when I went through the amalgam removal. I went through a suicide attempt. So I really cracked physiologically and psychologically. But the gift in all of that was the wisdom that I gained into doing the work that I do, because I truly believe the body's this amazing organism. You just have to give it the right time and environment for it to heal, and it will.
What are your thoughts about people who are in that state of feeling like they want to end it all, they're suicidal? Is it the responsibility of those around them to get in their face, to stop them, to force them to change, or do you see the individual has the right to end their own life because it's their life?
That's a really tough call. And what I will tell you from my own experience is that when you get that low, the people around you become as if they're strangers. You are so disconnected if you're willing to take your life that, and all, you definitely want to, you know, anybody that's in that predicament, you want to do everything you can to support them to move out of that. But in all honesty, when you're there, you are numb, and it's as if you can't even hear what's being said. And so it's truly the inner journey of somehow either digging through that and realizing the light is around the corner, no matter how dark a situation feels. But everybody, we have free will and choice, and I'm so grateful that I didn't succeed in that because the light was around the corner. It's just sometimes you feel so overwhelmed, and your chemistry gets so out of balance that when you're there, it's almost impossible to see yourself getting onto the other side. So it's a very tough place, but I have many clients where I've said, look, this is your choice. But if you're half in and half out, the body will not heal. You have to make a choice whether you want to be healthy or not.
Looking back, do you now see that that was an opportunity for you to grow and to more or less fly like an eagle? Like sometimes we bottom out. If we survive it, we come out of that. It empowers us. It makes us so super strong and powerful that it's almost like we're unstoppable. Would you say it's also true for yourself?
Absolutely. I think that was like the Phoenix rising. And, you know, what I also got from that is that it's not only about choice, but thing is, yes, it's made me stronger. It gave me such great insight to what we can do and the capacity about belief systems. This is the thing I would challenge when people are that low, is that I believe that I had to hit rock bottom before it got better. And I think that's something when you see someone spiraling out or they have those tendencies is to challenge those beliefs because belief systems really dictate how we live our life. And unfortunately, that was one that I had not challenged and I was stuck on and I did hit rock bottom. And I don't necessarily think that that's the way you have to live your life if you're in those places.
Agreed. Now, when you were really sick, I assume that you were being treated and diagnosed by conventional physicians and doctors. What was that experience like?
Well, it was brief because it was, here's good news is you don't have cancer. Bad news is you have multiple sclerosis. We have chemotherapy, and most likely you're going to be in a wheelchair. And I looked at my mother and I said, I have no idea what this disease is except that it's supposedly incurable. I said, but if I take this drug, I'm out of there. I'm not going to make it. So I left conventional medicine that day, and I knew that I would, in my own hands, find a way to conquer this. And if not, I was happy with the choice I made because that's all that was offered. So I found one book called Multiple Sclerosis by Judy Graham. I had the information from Dr. Crook's book, The Yeast Connection, that I had conquered, you know, Candida way back when. And I put that together with changing my diet. So I was off alcohol, sugars, dairy, gluten. I took an antifungal powder at the time called Nilstat. I worked on emotional mental dynamics, pulled my amalgam fillings out, and worked on, you know, psychological factors. And 4 years later, I came through.
So in the same way that the so-called dis-ease, you know, the label, it works on us and it breaks us down, we have to also work ourselves out of our mess and keep pushing and plodding forward. So what I hear you saying is that there's a very strong work ethic required here if you do this stuff right and naturally.
It is. I mean, look, it helps the choice. And I'd love to say you can eat your ding-dongs and be well, but it's not going to happen that way. And I think we are so technologically advanced in this society, but we are so psychologically and physiologically and spiritually not caught up with that. We're not honoring the house, which is the body, as much as we need to. And, you know, it's not that you can't occasionally have a drink or an ice cream. It's just that we're so far off track with truly what good nutrition is and what we need to do to keep the body in balance. Because what people will find very quickly is that if you don't have your health, you have nothing in life. You can't be creative. You don't have energy. You're not able to give to your family, let alone doing any creative endeavors. So it's so important that we learn to find this balance point. And we're dealing with one of the most toxic times, period, with our food supply. So even more that we have to be educated to stay on top of this. But, you know, we're talking autoimmune disease where there's a lot more diligence that has to be put in. And when you're talking to normal person who is just dealing with either sinus infections or low energy or skin afflictions, you know, kind of like my Candida Cure book, that's a 90-day commitment to kind of reset the body, and then you have this whole new sense of education. So the diligence doesn't have to be as intense. When you're dealing with an autoimmune disease, it is truly a lifestyle change, and it is time and diligence that sees it through. There's no magic fix, Believe me, in 14 years I've looked for it, there isn't.
Yeah, no kidding. Our youngest daughter, Ruby, just had her first baby. The baby's about 5 days old, and, you know, it's wonderful to see a beautiful baby. They're so pristine and beautiful, and everyone comes in, and everybody likes to know that they've got five fingers and toes, and health seems to be a really important element in everyone's mind. They all want to know if the baby's healthy. So my question is, what happens between that time and for the rest of our lives, where people seem to lose the significance of their own personal health? Like, everyone's concerned about the health of the little baby, but then with their own health, they seem to put it on the side or ignore it. What happens? What's the psychology in that?
Well, I think there's a few factors. I mean, it's through our advertisement and through instant gratification. So some of it's the advertisement. Some of it is that it is changing because, unfortunately, we're not having those longer stints from having a healthy baby, having issues at 40. Now I'm seeing autoimmune diseases at the ages of 9, 10, 12. So I think, actually, the perspective of health, and we're seeing diabetes off the charts, that it's now we're being forced to examine the body. And we have more things that have changed than 4 decades ago. I mean, let's just take it from the state of the mother and father being more toxic than ever before. So they already download about 250 chemicals in the umbilical cord that gets transferred to the baby. Then you've got double dose of vaccinations. In my time, I probably had 17. The average child now will have 32 to 40, plus the hepatitis B shot before they leave the hospital. Then you've got the food supply that's toxic with, you know, 80% of your corn, wheat, soy being all genetically modified, and all the additives and fillers in the United States. So there's more to contend with, and unfortunately, I don't think it's being put on the back burner anymore because so many people are getting affected at all stages now.
What is your position on childhood immunization?
I don't agree with it. I think it's gotten so far out of control. And as I said, the hepatitis B given at birth, that makes no sense to me because a baby doesn't have a full immune system. It doesn't have an intact blood-brain barrier. I don't even understand hepatitis B for the United States being needed at that time. So, you know, unfortunately, I see a big connection with multiple sclerosis and the hepatitis B vaccination. And the HPV be given out to adolescents, I just think we've gone vaccination crazy. And I really think this is a very tough issue. I think you just need to get educated. There's lots of great resources out there. Even on my website, I did a children's health newsletter, and there's many good resources for parents to get educated. And I said, look, if you're really afraid about the issue and what's going to happen, maybe at least find a pediatrician who is aware of this, reduces the volume, spreads it out, maybe skips the Hep B. So, you know, it's a very personal choice, but I think it's gone way too far.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, you have a very eclectic background in education. It's wonderful. Kind of person I would love to see as a teacher, because your consciousness is coming from so many different points of view, which is great. That's kind of what we promote at the school here, is trying to get access to as much information as possible from reliable people and good science. But, you know, you've got a background in iridology, and I know that you're familiar. Obviously, you trained with Dr. Jensen, who I really like, and maybe you can tell us, and for those people listening who don't really know too much about iridology, what it is and how you can use this as a diagnostic tool.
Well, iridology is really, it's the study of the iris, which is the colored part within the eye, and you look for patterns and, you know, changes, and you can tell characteristics and propensity of where you're going to lead to in life based on your lifestyle habits of what organs would be affected. And as much as I love that modality, because I'm so eclectic, it's not what I primarily use in my practice at this stage. I use a quantum physics software program that assesses the body in 3 minutes. And I'm highly intuitive at this stage, so I don't use it anymore, but I love it as a tool. And anybody that does iridology, because usually you'll use a camera where they'll snapshot the iris and then they break it down and start to tell you what's going on and can make, you know, dietary recommendations and tell you propensity of organs or systems that might be imbalanced. So it's a wonderful modality. It's just, as I said, in my practice, it's something I'm not used very often. And actually, I'm on my way of moving out of practice to do more teaching and speaking.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, this quantum physics diagnostic tool, that sounds very cool. Tell us about that, please.
Oh, it's probably the most fascinating piece of software I've ever come across in my lifetime. It was developed by Dr. Bill Nelson. It's got a few acronyms, the QXEI, SCIO, S-C-I-O, and he was a NASA scientist who was responsible for bringing Apollo 13 back at 17 years old. So he's a genius in quantum physics. And very interesting how he got into creating the software. He was a hero, and the government said, what would you like? And he said, I would like to become a doctor. Put him through med school. At the very end, they gave his wife a drug, made the child autistic. He put all his genius into alternative medicine. It took him 20 years to develop this software, 10 of which computers weren't even out. So the guy was light years ahead. And what it does is through quantum physics is reading energetic patterns, and with his mathematical genius, he knows what every cell, tissue, even emotion is vibrating at. And so within that 3 minutes, it's reading through the subconscious and picks up everything, past and present. The key about this software is having a very good practitioner that knows the body and physiology and all the dynamics, because you look for patterns. Not everything's applicable, but there's so much information that comes up. And I love it. I've been using it for 12 years. And it's a great, it picks up these little pearls that maybe I wouldn't, even though my intuition is very strong.
So how does it actually work? Just input information from the patient?
You input your name and your date of birth and where you're born and a little bit of some of your diet, you know, habits. And then in 3 minutes, you put a little headband around your forehead. And within the 3 minute time, then everything comes up. There's also straps for the arms and legs, but I just use the headband. I find that sufficient. And then you get all this information. And then I take about 15 minutes to kind of dissect and go through and see the patterns. And then we get on a month later when they come back and we compare it, because you're looking to see if inflammation's come down, has infection left, you know, so you can use it as a very tangible tool to see the progress.
Let's say that you're somewhere isolated, you have no technology, no internet, no computer. Is it possible with the information and insight that you know and others like you to sit down or talk to a person and find out from them, just in that short conversation, enough for you to advocate a certain change or constructive lifestyle to help them improve their life?
Absolutely. I mean, that's really what I've been doing. And like I said, the software is a great thing. But at this stage, with the experience I have and my intuition and knowing the body and the psyche so well, it's very simple. And it's really not complicated dynamics in how to get most people well today. You know, diet is huge. I mean, the biggest things you want to do today for everybody is get rid of the alcohol, the sugars, the dairy, and gluten. Those are the most destructive things right now that are inflaming the body, because inflammation and infection is the root of all disease. So if you're just telling them to do that, you've made great headway. Then if you want to get into detoxification, supplementation, that's another layer. So,
do you think sobriety is an absolute standard for humanity? Is that something that we have to work towards or evolve our way out of? Do you think that substance use always leads to substance abuse?
I don't know that. You know, it's based on the individual, but I will tell you, we're a very addictive society, whether it be to sugar, whether it be to alcohol or drugs or television. I think we don't know how to find the middle road. I think if we knew a little bit with moderation, and moderation has changed, you know, I think if you hit me 40, 50 years ago, I wouldn't mind if someone had maybe a glass of wine a night. Today, because we're so polluted environmentally, psychologically, what's in the food supply, I don't think you can get away with that if you want quality aging. I think that if you want to indulge, it's once or twice a week. It's not every day.
That is a great line. I'm going to use that for a book title, Moderation Has Changed. I love it. That's so true, because you hear in conversation all the time people talking about this moderate approach to life, right?
Right.
But we can no longer refer to that. It's like 20 bucks in my pocket when I was 10 is not the same anymore.
It's not. And, you know, I'm the first one to say, hey, look, if you can sneak an ice cream and gelato, let's do it, because I'm not a monk. You know, I do practice what I preach, but I also, you know, have my comfort foods and comfort time, but I'm 47 and I can keep with most 20-year-olds. And the thing is, I do that because I do practice what I preach. And it's really key at this time that we get a lot more educated and not look at these things as deprivation or sacrifice. Look at it more as you're clearing inflammation from the body and you're doing things to age with quality. Because people will say to me, what does it matter what I eat and take? I'm going to pass on anyway. And I said, well, it doesn't. I said, but how do you want to do the ride? Do you want to be on a plethora of medication? Do you want to be in pain? Maybe lose your memory? I mean, the more you can do to balance and nurture this body along, the more quality you're going to have.
Yeah, that's brilliant. One of the things that attracted me to you, Anne, was you, the way you look. You look really well. And I'm convinced that we need more role models like that, because if someone does not look well and they're telling you what to do and how to get well, it just doesn't compute. Would you agree?
I do agree. And here's the full side of all of that. As a practitioner, I do look at people that when I go see healers and things, I look to see if they're marrying that. What I will say for the layperson who's seen someone like me is that we are still human beings and we still have a lot of stress. So I don't want there to be that full judgment that if you don't look perfect, that you're not a great healer. But I do feel there has to be some alignment within that. And I do hold myself to that standard because that's how I know how to do my work. If I was way overweight, then very challenging for me to tell someone to give up all this stuff and start exercising and doing all that stuff. So, but at the same time, we are human beings and we have sometimes even greater stress because we are looked upon to be able to turn their lives around. And that's partly why I'm going to move into more teaching and speaking. As you know, 14 years being in the trenches, I love what I do, but over 75% of my clients are autoimmune. And because I'm intuitive, I'm tuning into all levels. And we have very, you know, in an hour and a half initial session, there's a lot of ground that's covered there. And I love that. But it's time for me to speak to more people and also lighten the load for me a bit.
Do you plan to lecture here in Canada at all?
I don't know. I mean, the goal is to, I'm going to be putting out a second edition of Healing Multiple Sclerosis, so it's much more user-friendly in the supplement and detox section. And the Candida Cure is really my 90-day program for everybody because everybody needs to reset and clean out the system. And so when these get launched, the new book of Healing MS next year, the goal is to hit the circuit and do more things. So I'm really open to invitations and what's going to happen there to get me out there.
I noticed that your book that you just mentioned, Candida Cure, is also available as an e-book as well as a print version.
It is. It's Kindle, it's e-book on many different formats. And, you know, what that is, and people go, I don't have that, and guys especially. And I say, look, yeast is an epidemic, particularly in the United States, because it's the single-celled organism that stays balanced in the body, and we're born with it, but it can easily get out of balance based on antibiotics and sugar, stress, steroids, all these things throw it out of balance, and then what you start to have are the mild symptoms of fatigue, weight gain that's unexplained, even if you're eating the right things, digestive imbalances. I mean, the yeast and fungus can go anywhere and take over the system. So the book is designed to clear things like parasites and yeast, but it's also my 14 years of hard work of balancing blood sugar, getting the adrenals on track, clearing and decongesting the liver gallbladder. So it's really a 90-day reset to clear all that out and really educate you and know where to go from there.
You know, when you talk about yeast infection, especially for guys, the first thing they think of is a vaginal-related yeast infection for a wife or girlfriend. But what kinds of symptoms do guys have that would suggest that they have a yeast infection?
Toenail fungus, sinus infections, eczema. Biggest one, prostate cancer. Anything with a prostate, that's the toxic waste site for the males, is the ovaries and uterus are for the women. So when you've got prostate issues, you better be looking at candida infection and more inflammation going on there. And fatigue, and also anxiety, depression. I mean, really, when you look at my book and you look at the chart that shows it, wherever you're kind of genetically most vulnerable, it's going to go to. So if it's more the upper respiratory, you're having sinus, ear, asthma. So people always think, yes, it's a vaginal yeast infection. But no, probably 7 years ago, I'd say one out of three people had yeast overgrowth. Today, everybody does. It's just whether is it mild, moderate, or severe. And if you have it severely, then you're dealing with cancer and autoimmune disease, because I think it's the root of both those conditions.
What about in children, some of their strange behavior or the ADHD and autism? Do you think there's a connection with the yeast there too?
Oh, huge, because when you're taking those vaccinations, you're totally then giving way to the infections to take over, such as yeast. So you're compromising the immune system, the yeast takes over. So for children that aren't having, you know, ADHD and autism, you're seeing the colic, the eczema, those are candida signs. But typically when you're moving into those other realms of more, you know, autism, absolutely, there's involvement there. And the challenge is for the parent to be able to be diligent to deal with a stubborn child who doesn't want to eat those foods because they're going to gravitate towards the dairy. They're going to only eat three things, and they're going to eat the three things that they're probably not supposed to eat that makes them feel worse.
So we get rid of the things that are bad, like the alcohol, the sugar, you know, the wheat, the yeast things, the cheeses, the molds. What are some of the antifungal foods that are really good to eat on a regular basis?
You mean things that would keep fungus away?
Yeah.
Well, it's mainly, you know, you're eating what's left is, you know, you're eating clean proteins of chicken, turkey, grass-fed beef. You want everything to be antibiotic hormone-free as best you can. So protein's really important, but not huge amounts at one time. People eat more than 2 to 4 ounces. You know, then vegetables. I mean, ideally the diet needs to be 60% vegetables. No one loves to hear that. Not even, you know, it's hard for me to do some days. But, you know, everything out of that list except for corn, potatoes, and mushrooms are my biggies to pull off there. And then you've got, you know, your nuts and seeds. Raw nuts and seeds are great. And beans and legumes are tricky. For autoimmune conditions, don't like them for at least 3 months. And a lot of people also don't digest them well because you kind of have to soak them and sprout them. And so with legumes, it can be a little tricky because not everybody's gastrointestinal tract does well with that. But and fruit, limited. I'm not into the dried fruits. I think you want to stick with the low glycemic fruits, such as the berries and grapefruit and, you know, avocado, lemons and limes and some apples. And so it's not that you can't veer out there, but, and it's like I said, no one wants to feel like they're restricted. And so what it has to be is an educational change and a perception change about what food is. Food is fuel. It energizes the body. And if it's not energizing you and keeping you going to all the things you want to do, then you need to reexamine what you're eating.
Yeah, no doubt. What are your thoughts on garlic, on eating garlic and perhaps taking, say, an extract as a supplement?
Garlic's great. It has so many wonderful properties for the cardiovascular system. It's a great antimicrobial. The thing is, if you do a clove, not everybody's GI tract can handle that. So sometimes people are better if they juice it and it disperses a little bit. Some like an extract. So it's, you know, look at the things that grow in our backyard and come, like all the culinary herbs are probably the most healing things that the body loves every day because they're rich in nutrients, they have heavy metal chelators, and, you know, garlic and onions are great things to have. It's just depending on your system because some people, garlic can really upset their GI tract.
Yeah, right. That's great information. Thank you, Anne. What about training, exercise? We're a sports nutrition college and a lot of teachers, fitness academy people, you know, athletes training, and you know the way that most of them eat. What are your thoughts on the role of exercise and physical activity in the maintenance and achievement of health?
Well, I think if you don't use it, you lose it. I think that, you know, I'd love to say I can get results with just nutrition and detoxification. No, you have to have movement. I mean, we're designed to walk. Sometimes it will depend on the degree of what you're, the person you're dealing with, with how much they do. I don't think that everybody needs to be in the gym every day. But if you're not walking, doing yoga, playing a sport at least 3 to 4 or 5 times a week, I think you're missing out because the circulatory system gets affected, the lymphatic system gets sludgy, and you become more inflamed. And it's so good to balance out the neurotransmitters. So many people today, in addition to not having energy, are anxious or depressed. And the only way you're going to get those neurotransmitters in balance, like dopamine and serotonin and GABA, is you got to move. So exercise is key. And I always hear that. People will come in and go, oh, I've been so lazy. And then when they finally get their groove going and they start to exercise, they go, God, I feel so much better. Because we all have stress, but if you don't manage it and neutralize it, it's the number one body breaker. And exercise is fundamental in being able to help out with that. So I think exercise and deep breathing exercises and meditation are critical to quality aging.
Well, that's excellent. We certainly welcome that insight, and it's certainly relative to what our people are into, especially with the Olympics on right now. I'm a master's hammer thrower, so loving to watch the track and field and watch the athletes. But again, a lot of focus on performance there, and you wonder how well these athletes are. Do you think that training and exercise, I guess like diet, can be just completely distorted and taken out of balance, and you're left with all kinds of issues and damage and risk because of the training taken out of balance, perhaps?
Well, yeah. You know, it's funny. I was watching the gymnasts and stuff. I've been watching it all week, you know, week and a half, and I'm just finding, wow, how intense it is on the body. And, of course, you know, it's overload in that way, but I will tell you what's interesting about what I'm seeing with some of the athletes. I'm a tennis player, so I watch the tennis pros, and what I'm finding there is that they're getting more educated to realize that if you're gluten-free, that you're leaner, you have more precision, you have better, you know, I'm watching not just what you need for energy to be able to be on the court or whatever you're doing for so many hours, but they're getting the quality ingredient into sports nutrition, and that's key because when you're pushing it that hard, you're creating a lot of free radicals. And if you're not working with certain supplementation and good food, you can do a lot more damage to the body, particularly in the recovery mode. So you have to be educated in that area. And, yeah, everything can be out of balance. But what I'm seeing is this new wave of athletes becoming more educated with how to maintain and stay in balance with the amount of effort that they're putting on the body.
Yeah, no doubt, and it's good. I'm seeing also that the athletes are getting leaner, you know, traditionally in the past compared to today. I think there must be, well, I know there is an improved focus on the technology of the training and the skill development, et cetera, and obviously nutrition is moving its way in, which is good. Now, you're a hypnotherapist, which is quite interesting, and a lot of people don't really understand that too well. They might even be afraid of it. Now, how can that be useful for, say, overcoming fears and phobias?
Well, I can tell you, I don't make the people quack like a duck, so I know it's got a bad reputation. But, you know, hypnosis is just another way to reach the subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind truly dictates what every cell, tissue, and organ in the body does because it controls the central nervous system. So whether it be hypnosis, meditation, prayer, affirmations, emotional freedom technique, these are all ways to tackle the subconscious and change patterns. Because really what the subconscious is a tape recorder. And it loves repetition. It's your best friend. It has no discerning capability between right or wrong. So whatever you think most often, say most often, do most often is what you are. And a lot of that programming is negative because it's from outdated belief systems as a child that we've never challenged. So when you do hypnosis, it's just all it is deep relaxation. It's like as if you meditated, but I'm talking to you. So when you go into that state, then it allows me to have greater access to the subconscious, and we just put in positive programming. It's very simple. If someone was afraid of hypnosis, if they just literally made a recording of their own voice and put in all positive things and saying it from the place of now, not like I'm going to get better, but saying I'm healthy, I'm strong, whatever you want to focus on, and listen to it for at least 21 days as they fell asleep at night, they would see a shift. The difference with seeing someone like me is I have more maybe creativity in what I want to say and help you relax easier. And so there's no voodoo to it. It's a very powerful technique in working with the subconscious to change those patterns and get rid of fears and neutralize them. Because you may not get rid of the memory of having fears and phobic experiences and post-traumatic, but what you want to do is get to a neutral point that when you think it or you're in a mode where you're going to relive it, that there's no emotion attached with it.
In your experience, do you find that the most people and their fears are basically made up? They don't really exist. They reside in a place like a vacuum of their own mind, but in reality, there's no such thing as the fear. It's just a perception of maybe the past or present or future.
Yes, I mean, the saying goes, you know, it's false evidence appearing real, but there has to be some back memory that has triggered it, and then it gets associated with different things. So, of course, it's anxiety. It's the projection of that happening again is what gets us into trouble. And so we do make it larger than life because the way you want to do it is you're not going to stop what comes into your mind, but you can use techniques to diffuse it so that you don't give it life and re-aliven it so that now you have a sensory experience, so now you're getting panicky or your hands are sweating or you're having a panic attack. So, yes, it is happening in the mind, tied in with emotions and beliefs. And that's why some people, when it's really intense, need to find practitioners to help disengage that. Most can just kind of go, okay, I'm not going to go there. And yes, thank you. I see you. Go play outside. And can disconnect from it. But others are trapped by it. And that's when you might need to use one of these other modalities.
Yeah, well, that's just so wonderful, so juicy. The information is just pouring out, and the lines that you're coming up with are very powerful and strong. The value of these for our students is that they can listen and re-listen, and a lot of them are training and exercising with their iPods, and they'll be listening to you give your insight like you are, and this is just wonderful. For those that want to buy your books or learn more about you and find out more about your personal approach, what is your website address, Anne?
It's annbaroque.com, and that's spelled A-N-N, B as in boy, O-R-O-C-H.com. And there's all kinds of good things. I've got some videos on there and a lot of information, not just how to get in contact with me. My books are on there. It's a great site to explore and get more, you know, educated. I was going to say one thing about the hypnosis, which is great for all the athletes and for your school, is that hypnosis is wonderful because it's a way to focus in and get in there the things and the results that they're wanting and stuff, because it's all about really what you think is what you are. And that's easier said than done. But the more that you can create the dream and the vision, and then you work with diligence with behavior choices each day to uphold that, then you become that vision.
Yeah, so true. Well, my goodness, our time is gone. It just kind of vaporized like life itself. But so worthwhile spending this time with you, and the information was just outstanding. Thank you so much, Anne.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Perhaps you could leave us with a parting comment, you know, something profound that you feel particularly strong about. What are some of the most important things that matter to you in life?
Well, I think one of the things we need to know about the body is that it is incredibly intelligent, and we are being kind of brainwashed with media and advertisement and commercials that you're going to be in a pill and be sick and have to take all these things. And I want to tell you the difference is that the body knows how to be well. You just have to give it the right environment for a long enough period of time. So I want people to start to have a different perception that it does know what to do. You just have to give it some encouragement. And the other thing is that we're all very unique, and I really find that there's worth and purpose of everybody that's on this planet. And it may come in different packages or look differently, but the key is to honor yourself each day and become more and more your best friend, because I think the greatest journey you'll ever experience is the one with yourself. And if you're not nurturing yourself the way you would a small animal or a baby, and, you know, tuning into all those aspects of you, I think you're missing the ride, you know, because we're so much about what do we own, what do we drive, what do we do, did we win this, did we reach the goal, and that's all wonderful, but it is the journey. And to make that journey, I call it more passionate comfort, that's what I think happiness is, and that really is the way in which you treat yourself and think about yourself. And because if you're perfect, the only way from there is down. And so what I changed my meaning of perfectionism to mean is I'm perfect now and there's room for growth. And I now allow that growth to come with more ease and grace. Before, I used to push it. So it's a work in progress, but, you know, it's about having more humor and enjoying life and the ones you love, because I think some people are going so fast they're missing the whole point.
Anne Baroque has been my special expert guest on this edition of SNU. She is a certified nutritional consultant, naturopath, certified clinical hypnotherapist, certified iridologist, educator, author, and absolutely very inspiring and a wonderful speaker. Anne, we thank you so very much for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.